Second Holmes by Grant Eustace, starring Peter Egan as Stamford Holmes and Jeremy Nicholas as Dr. Watson. Episode 6, The Case of the Missing Link.
Music there from John Addison. Just a reminder that you're listening to The John Donne Show. My After 7 guest this evening is the detective Stamford Holmes. Now, you were saying a bit earlier on, Mr. Holmes, that you don't think there's a future for detectives like yourself. Why on earth not?
Modern police equipment does everything for you. I've been replaced by the silicon chip. It's really Watson who gets most of the pleasure out of it.
But what about villains? I mean, they're still around. Admittedly, maybe they're not the glamorous men like Moriarty.
Well, I don't think my grandfather found Moriarty very glamorous. But I know what you mean. That's one of the reasons why detection doesn't appeal.
Why did you go in for it, then?
Well, I have to provide Dr. Watson with some interesting material for his stories.
Well, I hope you go on doing just that, if only because I enjoy reading Dr. Watson's accounts of them.
Do you really? Well, he'll be delighted.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
My pleasure.
So if anyone listening has any queries or problems, address them, please, not to me, but to Mr. Stamford Holmes. Well, music now from a group that has perhaps rather unhappy associations for you. It's the Police, and every little thing she does is magic. Thanks very much indeed, Mr. Holmes. I think that went very well.
Oh, I hope it won't depress your listening figures too much.
Not at all, I'm sure. Would you like some more coffee, by the way?
If you're referring to that beverage in the melting cup...
Oh, well, there's always the canteen, you know. Oh,
thank you, but I have some more work to do at home. Were you aware there's a cufflink under your chair?
Oh, so there is. Not yours, I take it.
Well, the owner is a bachelor, but he's right-handed, a keen gardener, and suffers from dandruff. He may also be rather stout. Watson hasn't been here, has he?
No, Jimmy Young's been in here before me.
Well, that may help you to trace him. Good evening to you, Mr. Dunn. Watson, so you are here.
Hello, Holmes.
You're so quiet, I thought you must have gone on your rounds.
I've got a clear day today.
I must make some proper coffee to wash the taste of that BBC stuff out of my mouth.
Oh, there's some brewing. It shouldn't be too long.
Fresh coffee being made and a used cup beside you already. That's hardly a great feat to deduce that something of importance is on your mind. And the remains of a cigarette. You haven't smoked since you gave up playing rugby, and that's years ago.
Oh, come on, Holmes, I'm not that old. Am I?
Perhaps not that old. But why this depression? All the normal sources of concern to you are in order, as far as I know. Your car is on the road, for once. Your weakness for the lottery of horse racing has you in credit for a change. You haven't worried about being overweight for at least a fortnight.
Am I the marrying kind, Holmes?
Ah, so that's it. I'd better sit down.
You see... You put your finger on it just now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as young as I might be.
Well, my dear Watson, if we're to believe the saying, life begins at 40, you've not even been born yet.
I know, but I'm already pretty set in my ways. Marriage would mean a lot of changes.
Well, if you can survive sharing accommodation with me, I would have thought wedlock would be child's play.
It's not the domestic arrangements that worry me. I still wash my own socks.
That would be a generous gesture.
Yes, whether I'm fit for it emotionally.
Ah.
The fact of being tied down and... Good Lord, children.
Well, now you are in deep waters, Watson. Well, far be it from me to advise a doctor. The only area into which I would presume to enter is the choice of a partner.
Now, you're not going to tell me again. Women are never to be entirely trusted, not even the best of them.
I won't say it again, but the caution stands. I assure you, the most winning woman I ever knew is still in Holloway for disposing of two husbands for their insurance money.
I wouldn't have brought the subject up, Holmes, if I'd thought you weren't going to take it seriously. You don't expect me to believe that sort of thing about Jane.
Ah, so it is that stewardess Jane Mapleton you plan to propose to.
No, for once you're wrong, Holmes.
Really? Another Jane?
No, it's Jane Mapleton, all right.
Oh.
But the proposal's already been made.
Oh, how very impetuous of you.
As it happens, she proposed to me.
Oh, well, these are liberated times. I suppose it's only to be expected. She should be an excellent companion, given my general reservations about the female sex.
Oh, so you're not going to argue against it?
Why should I? Miss Mapleton has a strong blend of logical thinking and feminine intuition.
Yes, she has.
You should get on famously together. You might even set up business as consulting detectives.
What, in competition with you? Nonsense.
No, you'd have the field clear.
What?
Without you living here to nag me every minute, I would finally be relieved of the stultifying task of following in my family's footsteps.
Great Scott, that hadn't occurred to me. What a terrible thought.
I could get on with some really interesting things for a change.
That puts the whole business in a completely different light.
So, that's settled. Congratulations, Watson. Now, it really is time I had coffee.
Oh, I think I need a brandy now.
That's better. Right, I'll get on with some work.
What passing fancy has seduced you away from your true vocation this time?
Well, nothing less than the nature of matter, Watson. Recent experiments suggest that subatomic particles exist only when they're being observed. And since everyday objects like your chair are made up of subatomic particles...
I suppose this chair only exists because I'm observing it, or rather sitting on it.
Well, that is the logical extension of this part of quantum physics. Amusing, isn't it?
I've never heard anything so illogical in my life.
But just think, that might even mean that you and the chair would disappear if I stopped observing you.
Now, Holmes, as your friend, as well as your doctor, I feel you might be overdoing this research. You'll say, Nick, that the doorbell hasn't rung.
I certainly wish it hadn't. I'm not expecting anyone.
Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. Mr. McPherson rang while you were at the BBC. Since you haven't got any cases at the moment, I told him to call round.
Oh.
That must be him now.
I must speak to Jane Mapleton and encourage her to pursue her suit with the utmost vigour.
Here we are. This is Mr. McPherson, Holmes.
I'm most grateful, Mr. Holmes, for you seeing me at such short notice.
It's all Dr. Watson's doing, I assure you.
So, how could Holmes help?
It's only a little matter, really.
It can't be so little that it brings you all the way from Edinburgh.
My goodness. People don't exaggerate about your powers, Mr. Holmes.
The accent is one of the more readily identifiable in the United Kingdom.
Thank you, Watson.
Of course, I didn't come from Scotland to see you without making an appointment. Think of the waste of money if you hadn't been in.
Why?
No. I was in London on other business when I found myself in Baker Street.
Ah.
I hardly need to explain to you why your name immediately sprang to mind, although I thought I'd heard somewhere that you didn't live there anymore.
No, 221B was pulled down several years ago. It's a great shame.
Not at all. It was hopelessly cramped and getting intolerably noisy.
Now, we don't want to go into all that again, Holmes. Go on, Mr. McPherson.
Thank you. So, I thought perhaps Mr. Holmes would be the one to help poor Mrs. Bridie. I asked the policeman where you lived, and...
Mr. McPherson, perhaps we could start at some logical point. We seem rather to have begun in the middle.
Oh, of course. Now, let me see. Am I a logical point, I wonder?
Ah, well.
I think so.
Yeah.
I am a partner in McElvey, McPherson and Johnson, solicitors. Oh, I thought I'd brought my card with me, but I seem to have mislaid it.
Oh, not to worry.
Is your office in the centre of Edinburgh?
Yes, in George Street.
Yes, I know. Off Prince's Street. Nice part.
So, what's the problem with Mrs...
Mrs. Bridie.
Mrs. Bridie.
Yes, poor dear. Someone's really got it in for her.
In what way?
Oh, in a very mysterious way.
Oh?
You see, she lives in a good neighbourhood. You wouldn't normally expect trouble there with young hooligans. And anyway, not at 2 or 3 in the morning. But that's when she gets woken once or twice a week by panes of glass smashing, the sound of nails being hammered into the doors, that sort of thing.
If it happens as often as that, surely the police could put a watch on the house.
They could, Dr. Watson, but they're not prepared to.
Typical.
You see, whenever she calls them, there's no trace of any damage. Whatever she's heard, there's never anything to be seen.
Extraordinary.
How old is the lady?
Well, now, you see, Mr. Holmes, that's the way the police think. She's in her mid-70s. But I've known her as a client for years now. Her brain is as sound as a bell. I'd swear to that.
Does the house have a history of being haunted?
You don't believe in the supernatural, do you, Dr. Watson?
Good Lord, no. No, I just thought, perhaps someone was making use of some legend or other. Holmes has some experience of that sort of incident.
Well, of course. I've read all your grandfather's books, Doctor.
Oh, have you?
It's not surprising the Baskerville case comes to your mind.
Totally predictable, in fact.
But no, there's nothing of the sort. There's no reason to it at all that I can ascertain. But it still goes on. And it seemed to me this morning that this is just the sort of unusual case that could interest you, Mr. Holmes.
How right you are, Mr. McPherson.
Oh, I'm so glad. Look, I'll write down Mrs. Bride's address for you. She has no telephone, poor dear. Doesn't hold with them. And I'll get one of my colleagues to call by and tell her you'll be coming. Could it be soon?
As soon as we can make it.
Oh, excellent, excellent. You take a load off my mind.
Let me help you on with your coat.
Oh, that's most kind.
I'll see you to the door.
Oh, there's no need.
No, there's no trouble.
Goodbye, Mr. Holmes, and thank you.
Goodbye, Mr. McPherson.
Oh, that's a bit of luck, Holmes, eh? A case appearing out of the blue like that. Not that it'll take very long to sort out. It's very clear-cut, isn't it?
It's certainly clear-cut, but not in the way you suggest.
Ah, you think Mrs. Bridie is actually going a bit gaga?
I would wager Mrs. Bridie does not even exist.
What?
Begin with the so-called Mr. McPherson's first approach.
He rang up.
Precisely. And since my number is ex-directory, people who ring get the telephone number from someone who already knows it.
No, you're from the police. He said he asked a policeman.
He asked a policeman where I lived. That still would not get him an ex-directory number from directory inquiries.
Ah.
And then there is the matter of the accent.
I deduced that that's how you said he came from Edinburgh.
But if you listened to him instead of me, you might have noticed that certain inflections were not quite correct.
Oh.
It was a simulated Edinburgh accent, not a real one.
Good Lord.
And even allowing for genuine absent-mindedness with the card, there was the little matter of his office address.
But there is a George Street in Edinburgh, isn't there?
There is. But it's not off Prince's Street. It runs parallel to it. A tiny point, one a local might be expected to correct. Quite simply, I believe Mr. McPherson is a fraud.
But then why on earth has it been such an odd tale? Ah, deduce it. Ah, right. Well, there are two possible courses of action for you to take. You either go to Edinburgh, because you can't telephone Mrs. Bridie. Nice touch, that. So you'll only find she doesn't exist once you got there. Or you stay here because you see through McPherson's performance. So you're either in Edinburgh or London. So, effectively, you can't be in some third place, probably equidistant from both Edinburgh and London, where some grand criminal design is about to be executed. So, halfway between here and there is Yorkshire. So, somewhere in Yorkshire...
Watson, your best friends would hardly call you a schemer. Your plot is too straightforward.
Straightforward? That?
For someone to go to all this trouble, there is something more devious behind it.
Well, then, surely we should go after this man McPherson at once.
I'm considering that. If it proves necessary, we can follow the homing device I slipped into his pocket when I was helping him on with his coat.
I didn't see you do that.
That's only to be expected. We may follow him in due course anyway, purely for the purposes of research, since I've had no opportunity to test the Homer since I made it.
You made it? Good Lord.
I don't work on the frontiers of science all the time, Watson.
No, I see that. And so what's our next move?
I can't speak for you, but I shall have another cup of coffee.
But Holmes... just sit there.
Well, I see no reason why not. McPherson's visit was clearly meant to provoke. It is logical, therefore, that I should not be provoked.
But Holmes... Oh,
not someone else you haven't told me about.
No. Oh, perhaps it's McPherson back again.
I doubt it. Whatever he came for is done.
It's the police, Holmes.
Oh.
Inspector Winter.
Anti-terrorist squad, Mr. Holmes.
I admit I do what I can to terrorize my neighbor's remarkably unpleasant dog, but I trust you haven't come to arrest me for that.
I came to see if you can give us some help.
Oh, how very gratifying.
I can't imagine that I can achieve what your specialists and computers cannot.
To be frank, sir, that's what I told my boss.
I've always found frankness an endearing habit, but it does have its limitations.
Sorry, sir. Didn't intend to get...
Yes, perhaps you could tell us how Holmes can help.
Is it safe to talk in front of Dr. Watson?
Well, really?
You talk in front of him, Inspector, or you don't talk at all. He is an indispensable part of any investigation.
Good Lord. Thank you, Holmes.
Don't mention it, Watson.
All right, then. Well, you'll have heard of the terrorist they call the Jackal, who invariably seems to turn up anywhere there's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, over the last couple of years, we've had clear indications that there's actually a second terrorist around of the same, if I can use the word, same quality.
Not one person with a new disguise.
We thought that too, at first, but we know differently now.
Mm.
The second one specialises not only in striking against public figures, but against people whose death might be expected to cause political trouble or even instability. There's reason to believe, for example, that he may have had some involvement in President Sadat's case.
Good heavens! Have you any idea who he is?
No name. We're fairly certain he's an Englishman who's been living abroad for some time.
This is all very enlightening, Inspector, but why does it bring you to me?
Because we believe this man to be on his way to England. May even already be in this country. And I don't imagine he's visiting relatives.
Well, I hardly think he'd visit us.
That's not why I'm here. Mr. Holmes has contacts which we may not have. He certainly has some unorthodox ways of finding out things. Since we have no leads at all, the boss thought that nothing would be lost, asking Mr. Holmes if he could give us anything to go on. But if you can't, I won't waste any more of your time.
Don't jump to hasty conclusions, Inspector. Let us explore all the possibilities. How does this man work?
That's one of the problems. As far as we know, he's never used the same method twice. If he really was involved in Egypt, he got others there to stage the military assault. Oh, got evidence in other attacks of a high-powered rifle, poisoning, electrocution, asphyxiation, and a faked car accident.
A pretty gruesome list.
With one conspicuous omission.
You mean explosives?
I do.
That's what worries us. Our society's too open. I mean, it's virtually impossible to offer protection to public figures against these sort of people.
Would you rather we had some other sort of society?
You don't catch me out with a question like that, Mr. Holmes.
He's right, Holmes. It is very difficult to stop these people in Britain. The Israeli ambassador had an armed guard, but he still got shot.
You don't have to remind us of our shortcomings, Doctor, thank you. The only real solution is to flush them out of wherever they're hiding before they do anything. I just thought you might have had some stray piece of information which would link up with what we know.
Which doesn't seem to be very much. Is there nothing else you can say about what this man has done that might mark him out from others?
Not unless you see anything special in the attention to detail in his work.
Go on.
Well, every trace that any police force has ever picked up shows the same meticulous planning. Almost mathematical precision.
Mathematical? Oh, what a fool I've been.
Now, what do you mean, Holmes?
Do you have a description of this man?
I brought the computer printout with me. These are the only common elements in reports. Tall, about 6'3", slight build, clean shaven.
Dark blue eyes, thinning hair, and a gold tooth.
You know him?
That could be a description of Macpherson.
Who's he?
Well, the solicitor who called here just now.
Solicitor?
You see now why I said he was a fraud, Watson. One item missing from your list is the artificial left kneecap, which was the result of a cycling accident as a child.
What, this Macpherson man?
Of Edward Moriarty.
Moriarty? You don't mean...
There is only one Moriarty family likely to concern itself with me, Watson.
Which Moriarty is this now?
Oh, really, Inspector? You've never heard of the greatest criminal who ever lived?
Only criminals who are alive concern me.
But his descendants might be, Inspector. The professor to whom Dr. Watson was referring had a son, but then the line died out. One of the professor's two brothers, Colonel Moriarty, didn't marry, but the youngest of the three had several children, as they did in their turn. Edward Moriarty is one of them, seemingly the only one to have inherited any of the criminal strains in his great-uncle. So I was under the impression he'd died of Legionnaire's disease, but that now has all the hallmarks of a planted piece of information, since he was sitting, not a half an hour ago, in your chair.
You think the man we want was here in this room?
You have a lightning grasp of the situation, Inspector.
The nerve of it, to breeze in as bold as brass like that.
A family characteristic, Watson.
But why did he come here?
Yes, Holmes, that's bothering me, too. He's got a family score to settle. And since we didn't recognize him, he could have shot us both or something.
Therefore, there is a reason why he did not.
Which is?
We must assume he has not yet committed the crime for which he came. Otherwise, we would have heard of it. He's a businessman, and therefore has no wish to start a hue and cry before he's fulfilled his main contract, whatever that may be.
Well, then why come here at all?
Because he's planning to kill two birds with one stone, or indeed, as seems likely, a bomb.
But to do that, he must think you can work out who his real target is.
Quite. A stimulating challenge.
Maybe that to you, but there's a damn sight more at stake. Do you think you know what this man Moriarty is up to?
Apart from what you've told me, no. But quite clearly he expects me to be able to find the link now that I know who he is. Any ideas, Watson?
I'm afraid not.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the wretched man existed until just now. There's very little documented about that side of the Moriarty family. The grandfather was a station master.
Excellent, Watts. At times, there is no one to surpass you.
Really?
Let us twine three strands together, Inspector. The select group of public figures who might be targets, the likely use of a bomb, and railways. Does anything result?
The royal train goes to Sandringham tomorrow.
Good heavens.
It all fits, does it not?
But how does that get you in?
He will expect that once a bomb is found, my natural arrogance will make me volunteer to defuse it, knowing that a Moriarty has planted it. Yes, he's probably right.
But he'll booby-trap it.
Of course he will.
But if the bomb goes up with you defusing it, how would he assassinate anyone else?
Quite so. Well, you're sparkling this morning, Watson. Oh. There will have to be a second bomb, much less obviously placed.
Can I use your phone to get the search underway?
Please do. I'll just write down the number of the telephone in my car, and you can let us know how you get on.
Where are you off to?
To see how well I design and build homing devices.
Don't you think he might be having the house watched, Holmes?
Most likely, but we have to take that chance. Mm. We will not, however, take a chance with the car. Look underneath it, will you, while I look round the engine.
Right. But I thought you said he wouldn't have a go at you before he'd done the other job.
I believe so. But it would be foolish to rely on it.
Yeah, quite.
See anything?
Nothing at all.
Nor here. All right, let's get in. Now, let's see.
Why do we need a transistor radio?
It was the only casing I had to have when I was making the receiver. Now. Aha, weak but still there. Good. You hold that, Watson.
Right.
Now, we'll see if we missed anything wired up to the car.
Holmes, just in case, I'd like to say it's been an honor working with you.
Thank you, Watson. Perhaps you'll find there's a need for a consulting detective in whatever world we're destined for. Here we go, then.
Right. Oh, that's a relief.
Wings wouldn't have suited either of us, Watson.
No. Have you any way of judging distance with this beeper, Holmes?
No, only direction. The speed at which it's getting louder suggests he's stationary.
This is familiar country, eh? Esher and now Oxshott. We're not far from Wisteria Lodge, you know.
Yes, I know.
That was a grotesque business that our grandparents had to look into down here.
Yes.
With that man Garcia being lured into a trap. What the... Did you see something?
You get better and better, Watson.
Good Lord, do I?
Yes, you said trap. Mm-hmm. Moriarty has arranged it so that I head north for East Anglia, where he's placed the bombs. But if he's found the homing device, he will realize I could well come south directly after him, as we're doing. So if he's decided to bait a trap for us...
Oh, I see.
How would he know we were here?
He would recognize us.
Not at first. He would recognize the car.
Yes.
We need another car at once. Over there, at the petrol station. Come on, bring the receiver.
You mean you're just going to leave the Ferrari here?
It's in short. Come on, Watson.
Yes, but... All right.
George, you're not, George.
No, madam, I am not.
Excuse us, madam. Terribly sorry.
George!
Please keep calm, madam. Madam, I assure you there's a simple explanation.
But we haven't much money. Really,
madam. Well, we're not going to hold you to ransom.
Oh, you've got something worse on your mind.
No, Watson always looks like that.
Really, Holmes, madam, I assure you.
Good Lord, you think you're Stamford Holmes and Dr. Watson. You're escaped lunatics.
Madam, we are Stamford Holmes and Dr. Watson.
I knew it. Lunatics.
How many more times?
That home is getting pretty loud, Watson.
Yes.
George will call the police, you know. He'll come after us.
That seems the logical course of action.
Perhaps you'd like to talk about it.
Oh.
I'm a mother. You can talk to me.
I have a mother of my own, thank you, madam. That continuous note means we're passing him, Watson.
Yes.
We'll pull up quietly around the next bend and double back through the woods.
Right.
We don't want this good lady shot.
Oh, massive.
No, don't worry, madam. There's no question of that.
There he is, Watson. Just as I thought, lying, watching the road.
That's not MacPherson.
No, he's got someone else to do his dirty work. Typical of a Moriarty.
So he's escaped.
This time. I don't like the look of a submachine gun that man's got. Well,
thank God you decided to change cars.
Yeah. Hand me that piece of branch, will you? What the...
Well done, Holmes. Hands out cold.
Yes, and here's my Homer in his pocket. This Moriarty's every bit as tricky as his great-uncle.
Ah, and that sounds like husband George with the police.
Good, they can find out for us how much success Inspector Winter has had.
Yeah, just like you said, Mr. Holmes, the big bomb was well hidden. Took hours and a metal detector to find it. But it's safe now, and that's the first one we found, over there.
Ah.
Holmes, you're not going to have a go at it, are you?
Of course.
Oh, Lord.
It was intended for me.
Yes, but...
I imagine it can't be moved.
The bomb disposal people are fairly certain it's booby-trapped underneath.
Right. Hand me that bag, Watson.
Very well.
I'll see what Moriarty's dreamed up this time.
How's it going, Holmes?
No trouble getting the casing off. Ah, now I can see why.
Another booby trap?
I imagine so. There are two sets of wiring where only one is necessary. So one is real, and the other one will short-circuit and detonate if I cut it.
Well, couldn't you disconnect the timer or something?
Not without disturbing the circuits. There's nothing for it but to cut one.
No.
Don't worry, Watson. I told you, wings don't suit me.
But does Moriarty know that?
That remains to be seen. Here we go, then.
Dear, dear, dear. Those are the longest few seconds of my life, Holmes.
I'm sorry you were worried, Watson. But if I'd cut the wrong wire, it would at least have solved your quandary with Jane Mapleton.
Don't remind me. But a Moriarty won't give up.
No, but he's lost the benefit of surprise. We know he's alive and to some extent how he works. We can be rather more easily on our guard. You haven't arranged for someone else to call already, have you?
No, nothing to do with me this time, Holmes.
If this goes on, I shall move.
Mrs. Pettifer, Holmes.
What?
The lady whose car...
Mr. Holmes, I'm so glad I found you in. I've had such a terrible time since we met.
From George?
Oh, good heavens, no, from my children. They were absolutely furious I didn't get your autograph. And I thought, well, in return for the loan of the car...
I'm sure we can bring about the return of domestic harmony, can't we, Watson?
Delighted.
And I also thought perhaps you might like this.
Plum jam.
Homemade.
How splendid.
Oh.
I thought you might not have too many home comforts, being a bachelor household.
It may not be for much longer.
Oh, really? Congratulations, Mr. Holmes.
Not me, no. Matrimony is more in Dr. Watson's line.
Oh, I'm so pleased for you.
Nothing's decided yet,
I'm
you
sure
understand.
She's a delightful girl.
Oh, she is.
But
delightful.
If she'd like any of my jam recipes, she's very welcome.
Well, in fact,
perhaps you'd like to come down to Oakshott for tea one afternoon.
Well, thank you.
That episode of Second Home starred Peter Egan as Holmes and Jeremy Nicholas as Watson, with John Dunn as himself. James McPherson was played by Simon Hewitt, Inspector Winter by David Goodison, Mrs. Pettifer by Lolly Cockerell. Second Holmes was written by Grant Eustace and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.